from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's Jeffrey Wright and Company.
Tell your story.
Live on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at @JWright929ESPN. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company this week, he's the director and head coach of Team Thad. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at DreamBigHerd. On Instagram, at IamCoachHerd. Team Thad Nation on all social media outlets. Coach Norton Hurd IV. Good day, sir.
Oh, yes, sir. Great day. Great day.
I like how I'm now getting back to, like, I feel like I'm going back to high school where one of the greatest compliments you've been giving me is call me coach. Like, literally, we used to think when I was at MUS, a teacher getting the name coach something, even if they didn't coach, was like the ultimate sign of respect that, like, you've made it. When you get called coach, it's great. It brings me back to, of course, that was also my nickname in high school. Usually when you're the guy that knows everything but is very undersized, you get labeled coach.
Yeah, that's true.
If it were flag football, I would have been much better.
Yeah, for sure.
But unfortunately, it wasn't. Let's see what we got coming up on the program. I want to start with the two biggest, I think, local topics of the day. We had the Grizz last night falling in overtime to Miami. Actually, a pretty darn good watch. I was even texting my wife. She's on a work trip. I was like, you got to turn this on. This has been an entertaining game. But yet again, we got big performances from Scottie Pippen. We got big performances from G.G. Jackson. Jake LaRavia had another good night. We want to talk about kind of how it looks with the Grizzlies in general, because there's some questions I got for Coach Hurd. Also, University of Memphis, for the first time in school history, has been predicted in the preseason media poll to be the favorite in their league. The Tigers got 409 first-place votes, 409 total points in the poll, 23 of the 30 first-place votes went to the Tigers. But the top four teams in the league, including Memphis, UTSA, Tulane, South Florida followed up. The Tigers play them all on the road. So I want to talk a little football with Coach here in just a minute. Tim Murray's going to join us like he does each and every Tuesday. We got Big Ten Media Days. I want to talk some of the things he's been looking at. He texted me yesterday, Hurd, I don't know if I've ever had someone ask if I could find this bet for him. He wanted to know if I could bet on the over-under conference win totals. So I guess DraftKings in some states is offering that. But I didn't even know that was a page. I then went and found you could bet on the over-under of regular season home games, but I could not find his conference win total. So I wanted, that to me told me he was cooking up something, so I wanted to see what he was up to. We'll get into the list during hour number two. Jordan Love rumored to be getting the next big deal, perhaps the highest paid quarterback in the league. We got an NFL 18-game schedule. Appears approaching fast and furiously. TNT might be starting a fight. WNBA All-Star Game, lots to get to. We'll do all that during hour number two. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But I think let's start with fresh of mind. Let's start with the Grizzlies, because there's a few things that I wanted to discuss, also credit. Number one, I think we are now heading to the point where Scottie Pippen might play Derrick Rose out of a job. It's not going to be there yet. So if you made me predict, the Grizzlies are going to start with Derrick as their backup point guard. But if he continues at this pace, because I think really the biggest story for Scottie Pippen Jr. this entire summer league was not that he was good, but it was that he pretty much looked like the best player on the floor. And that included, I would even say, Gigi. Like, he looked like he was just in complete and utter control. And to me, the Grizzlies are not in this position where they have to make a decision, because Scottie's going to get 50 games before they have to make a real decision. Also, they're probably going to have to figure out whether or not they're going to leave a roster spot open and whatnot. But I got to credit you, man. He is looking like he belongs.
Yeah, like I told you yesterday, I think at the end of the year, when everybody was so happy with Gigi and Vincent and guys like that, I really enjoyed Scottie Pippen Jr. I don't know if it was the last 2-3 games of the year or the last game of the year when he did some...
He had a Lakers game, I think, in there that he was really good.
It was some historic little stuff he was doing, and I was watching it like, well, he's really good, right? And so I didn't want to take it overboard, because I told a few people that they thought I was taking it overboard. But now in summer league, he has came out and showed, and the reason he might look better than Gigi and other guys at times is the point guard going to always be the most important guy on the team, you know, because he has the ball in his hand. And so I'm really impressed with him. I can't publicly say that he's probably going to outdo D. Rose for our love for D. Rose in the city, but I do think he's going to outdo somebody who I even think is bigger than D. Rose right now. Him and Gigi is going to, I think, shake some stuff up with people that we think that's locked in stone and getting this many minutes or should be starting. I think those two fellas is going to do some great things to shake this lineup up. And I also think the Grizzlies shouldn't. It's the smart business way to do it. But I think let's show Scottie Pippen Jr. some respect, and let's not make him wait 50 games and all that, which I know that's the smart business way. If he deserves it out the training camp, and then let's give him his respect.
I think if that's the case, they'll do it. And I want to be very clear. This is not me rooting against D-Rose. I do think it helped having Derrick come back last year, and we all got to do the nostalgia thing. Like, it's just good to see him back. It was good to not only have him back, it was good to have him talk about his time at Memphis and really embrace it. I just have my doubts that Derrick is going to be able to play a full season. I just think his body can't hold up.
I definitely can see that. You know, health has been a big thing of his whole career, unfortunately.
I mean, basically the story.
Yeah. If it wasn't for that, I think we're talking about one of the best point guards in the history of the NBA, the most athletic point guard, him and Russell Westbrook. So, yeah, unfortunately, his injuries, I still want to somehow keep Derrick Rose on the team, and I'm willing to even.
I think they're going
to
do that. I think you'll just see him kind of transition into, like, the Udonis Haslem role.
Already? But is he still But I think he's still like mid-30s, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of miles on that body.
Yes and no, because he's been hurt. So, you know, if we were talking vehicles, the car would be in the shop a lot. So
yeah.
The miles went
down. Maybe it's not a high-mileage car, but it's a car that's had a lot of work done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that frame doesn't – it doesn't ride like it once did.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure. No, I'm with it. Scottie Pippen Jr., we have to find a way to play him. I think he's ready, especially for a job backup role. I think it's safe to say, we might be jumping the gun. I think Scottie Pippen Jr. could be as productive as Tyus Jones at some point. I'm seeing it.
They're very different players, because this was kind of my first question with Scottie coming in, and I think he's answered it resoundingly. I was starting to wonder whether or not he was a really like a two guard, mm-hmm. that his size played him into being a point guard. Like when you just get into the NBA, if you're not big enough, you can't.
6'3".
Correct. Yeah. So it's just tough. I think he has proven he has a great feel for the game. He can run the offense. Like he has proven to me that he can be a legitimate point guard option. I mean, I think the problem is when comparing him to Tyus, they're very different stylistically. Because I mean, Scotty to me is attacks the rim much more. I mean, Tyus was probably a more consistent 3-point shooter, but Tyus, you know, had the floater. I mean, when Scotty this entire summer, like he really attacked the rim and did so pretty impressively. And everything should be couched with, I know it's summer league.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think typically in summer league, you usually see smaller guards can kind of take over summer league. But at the same time, it's like the stuff that he's doing, it feels like it's real. It doesn't feel like this is just a summer league thing.
Yeah, I agree. And when I was comparing him with Tyus, I was saying, not game-wise, but production-wise,
absolutely.
I think that he could be that. And then we're talking about Scottie Pippen Jr. Like, we're not just talking about a small guard. I'm sure he understands the game. I mean, look who his dad is. I'm sure he understands the size of the NBA, the things he needs to do to stay in the NBA. And I think he could get all that done. But, yeah, they're two different players, you know, like you say. But I think Scottie actually could put more on the defense at times, too, than Tyus did, you know, physically and from that standpoint. And I don't want to, like, say jump the gun because Tyus have proved he was a really good backup. When Ja was hurt all those times, if it wasn't the playoffs, he was able to keep us in a 1 or 2 or 3 seed. But I think Scottie Pippen is going to be a player for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, to your point, Tyus to me is what we call in baseball a 4A guy. He's like in between. He's better than AAA, but he's not like elite as the NBA as a starting point guard. Like he's somewhere like in between. He's better than your backup point guard, but he's probably never going to be like better than probably what the 25th best starting point guard.
For
if
sure.
You're talking about that. And that's what we're talking about with Scotty. Like I'm not saying move over Ja, like or learn how to play off the ball. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, to your point, I think it's another reality that you just have to deal with Ja. I don't think you can expect Ja to play 70, 75 games a year. Like, that's not what we've seen historically. So that means there's going to be, you know, roughly 20 of those nights where you need that. And I'm now getting closer and closer to saying, like, if Scottie Pippen has to run the show for those 20 games, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty close to being like, I'm good with that.
You cool. So you look at Ja as what, like a, you say 20, like a 62 game guy now, 65. What are you thinking?
I mean, I guess you have to say he'll probably play 65 because isn't that what you need to get the awards?
Do we think?
I guess that's the real question. Do we think that's going to stay? Like, I'm curious to know if that rule sticks.
You know what? I think it would stick, but they're going to have to put some in it for certain. You know what I mean?
Because
I think the intent they made it was for guys to not sit out longer than their injuries, or not to just, you know, do like Kawhi and some of them get ready for the play, which I know he'd be hurt too. But I think it was not to linger on because the people who pay for tickets and come see him. But
well,
I think
TV.
In some situations they're going to have to because they're taking a lot of money away from some people who don't do it. So I think at some point they got to put some emphasis in that too. Like it's certain things that can over
yes
from what the original rule is.
So if you look at it. Ja in his first year played 67 games, and that's the pandemic year. So that's like 67 that was under 82 total games. So that was a high percentage. The next year, 63 of 82, 57 of 82. No, I beg your pardon. 67 of 82 was year one, 63 out of, I don't even remember how many games Grizzlies played that year. 38 and 34. So 42, 72. So he played 63 out of 72. That's his best percentage. 57 out of 82. 61 out of 82. And then last year, 9.
So this is Ja's 6th year.
Correct.
Time flies.
That's kind of insane to think about. It's like I feel like I remember being at the Mexican restaurant watching the draft and everybody going nuts. When they got the 2 pick, and it's like now we're already into year 6. But like I just think, I don't know, back to the 65 game thing, it's like I don't love putting in a qualification. Like either somebody deserves it or not. And to me, it's like, if you're going to have it be decided by media panels, they kind of bake in whether or not a guy played like too much. Like, I do think the year where Ja got second team, like, I think the reason he got second team all NBA rather than getting first team all NBA, despite probably having the numbers for first team all NBA, was the amount of games. So people kind of bake that in. They say that they want to do it for fans and ticket holders. That's not true. What they want to do it for is the NBA had to take some kind of action when the TV networks were super upset about all the times they'd have primetime games, and then they had the TV deal coming up. So now that they've got the TV deal squared away, I'm very curious to see if they're like, we'll maybe pull that back a little bit.
Oh, for sure. I think it was a little of both, Jeff, because I don't think that was fair to the fans or the TV markets when you're having a TNT Prime game on Thursday.
For
ESPN,
sure.
And, like, sometimes the two top stars on the game just decided that, oh, we're having a back-to-back, I'm not going to play. You know, and I'm a player type of guy, but I think the NBA got to also get their worthwhile for it, too, because we're all working together in one lead for a common goal. And, you know, the NBA players and the player union do want their amount of money. They do want their amount of respect. So I think on the flip side, unless a person is just extremely injured, then you got to also give some with that.
So I'm with you in the sense that making it good for TV also made it good for fans. But the way that I look at it is fans had been screaming for a pretty long time, like, hey, man, like, I bought $800 worth of tickets to go see LeBron. Like, it was my son's Christmas present. And everyone's like, that's tough. And as soon as the TV networks were like, this has to stop, all of a sudden we got some change. Now, it works for both. Like, it can be mutually beneficial. I just think the NBA is very big on telling you that they did it for the fans, when in reality they did it for themselves.
Yeah, them, their money,
correct,
their pocket.
Exactly.
And it benefits the fans.
By the way,
yeah,
they're not the NFL's the king of this.
For sure.
Like, we're going to talk about it at some point. An 18-game schedule is not good for the players.
No, not at all.
But it's good for the owners' wallets. So guess what we're going to be doing? And then they'll sell it. Hey, it's better for their wallets too. But that's kind of where we're headed. I don't know. I just kind of think of it in the terms of, with Ja being undersized and playing such a violent, aggressive style, I just think nicks and bruises happen. And if you tell me he gets to 65, I'm great. Then this is kind of the other weird thing. It's like, you start to weigh this. I always wonder, someone initially, when something becomes a league standard, so to your point about whether or not, I have no idea whether or not Kawhi is the first person that really brought load management to the fold. But certainly he's the face of the Spurs.
Of it.
Yes, they popularized it. Whether or not he was the first, I'm not enough of a historian to be like, well, no, really, it was actually this guy. But Kawhi to me is the guy that he brought it to the masses. And so I was always curious to know, once everyone started doing that, would there be a team that goes, you know what? If everybody else is going to arrest their guys, let's play our guys. And everyone makes the joke to a certain degree that, well, that's what Thibodeau does. But I'm like, to me, one of the big things about Boston, what makes them so successful, it's Tatum and Brown play. They're durable and they play a lot. Because the other flip side of the coin is, okay, yeah, you want your guys to play, but I think we all acknowledge the thing that is the most important is, how do you get to April with everybody healthy? Reasonably, because if you look back this year, I know Porzingis gets hurt, but for the most part, Boston stayed the most healthy of all the big contenders. Last year, Denver basically goes six deep, and they all stayed healthy for the playoff run. They weren't healthy maybe throughout the year, but they got them healthy. Same thing with the Warriors. Remember, the Warriors were on track to be like the one seed, and then Steph gets hurt. They're dealing with some injuries. They basically kind of punt on the rest of the season. They end up as the three seed. But they got everybody back for the playoffs. They win the title. The Bucks stayed healthy in their playoff run. And then the Lakers, when we had the bubble championship, well, it's kind of like the perfect setup for LeBron at late stage LeBron. It was, hey, here's like 2.5 months. Go, go, go. Go as hard as you can. Rather than, and like, that's the perfect setup for him. It's like, if he has to lock in, it's kind of why I'm not all that concerned with Team USA late game, because if LeBron's only having to go max effort for like 8 games, well, I know he can still do that. It's the length of the playoffs that start to, the whole season, everything that takes its toll, because tip of the cap also to LeBron. LeBron does play. Like, you know, you look at number of games every season, guy plays, but I think it takes its toll. And so when you have these short bursts, it works. And so that's kind of the balancing act, I feel like, that the Grizzlies have, where it is, hey, we need to probably make sure we're not in the play-in, and we need to make sure we play our guys enough. But then you have that delicate balancing act of how do we get everybody healthy back for the playoffs? Because that's inevitably what they're all going to be judged by.
No, for sure. You know, I deal with basketball, middle school, high school, college, NBA, and I'm for the players. But you got to be ready for the playoffs. You want to be the most healthiest. Now, out of all the teams you name, I do think Boston, they did have injuries. I think they was that deep with talent, though. They keep it rolling over until they got back, unlike, you know, if you're a Dallas, if Kyrie or Luka get hurt, it's over. You know what I mean?
And Luka was healthy enough to play, but Luka wasn't 100%.
For sure.
I mean, he even admitted, he's like, I'm taking the painkillers.
For sure. And if he was on Boston roster, he probably could have sat down a few games.
Yeah,
so you got to be the most healthy for the playoffs. I'm still a big believer in, and I know I'm kind of young, I don't want to sound old school, I'm a big believer in guys playing, though, regular season and playoffs, if you're healthy, not risk. Because I look at some of the older guys. I'm just a historian of sports. And I go look at, like, man, John Stockton's out of, like, I forgot how many years I read upon, I looked through his stats. But, like, out of 14 years or something, he had, like, 13 out of his 16 years where he played all 82 games. You know what I mean? And he played, like, 30, 40 minutes a game. And this was with less. The health things that we have now, the research we have now, the way that guys can recover their body now is such on so much on a higher level than it was in the 90s. And so for me, I don't agree with anyone playing through injury, but I don't think it should be a rewarding thing if a guy plays all 82 games in the playoff. I think we should get back somewhat normal to that if they're not, you know, hurt or anything, because that's what basketball is about. Not counting anybody's pockets, they have one of the best jobs in the world from a financial standpoint, you know. And so you're getting paid a lot of guaranteed money to do this. And I think you should do your job, and you should be there. You should be available. And you do have fans, and you do. And your obligation is also not to just play basketball. When you sign an NBA contract, it's to continue to help to grow the game, especially the superstars, and to be available. And so I think you should be doing that. So I'm not big on resting the last 10 games to be ready for the playoffs, even if you have a great, you know, record or whatever. I think you should play ball.
To your point, because as soon as you said, I looked it up. So Stockton, in his first 5 years, plays all 82. Mm-hmm. His sixth year, he plays 78. 82, 64, 50, but that was the lockout season.
Okay.
So 50 was the... He played them all, 82.
Yeah, even his last year. And it's plenty of guys in there, Reggie Miller, Michael Jordan. And then if you look up his minutes, how many minutes he averaged? What, 30, 40 minutes? So it ain't like he's a 15-minute guy. So my thing is, we should have guys. We're here to play basketball.
Well, it's just weird because I acknowledge there is kind of some double talk. But it is just really, like, it always inevitably becomes this question of, are you one of these old-school 90s NBA guys? Like, I'd play them all. I can acknowledge the game, the pace of the game, the spacing, the amount of movement and everything.
Jump and athleticism has definitely increased.
And I can acknowledge a 48-minute game in 2024 is probably different than a 48-minute game in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if it's as wide of the gap as the defenders would tell you, but I can acknowledge the game is clearly different. But it's also this weird reality of, we're now like treating players almost as if, well, we have all this money tied up into them. We have to make sure they're good for the playoffs. Whereas I'm just like, it's just weird to me that we've kind of hit this mark as sports fans where like, take it with, I'm waiting for Cooper Flagg, perfect example.
Yeah.
So Cooper is, at worst, what, going to be the second, third pick this year?
Yeah, at worst, at worst.
It started with, it started when guys would actually play bowl games. And, like, so first, of course, whoever the first guy is that sits out a bowl game, a quitter, you know, whatnot. And then it transformed into when a guy plays a bowl game, everybody's like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
Like, I'm waiting for somebody to be like, Cooper Flagg, what's he doing playing at Duke? Like, he should just go to the NBA draft. Like, he should work on basketball this year, go to the NBA draft. Same thing, remember when Zion got hurt at Duke and then he came back? Everybody's like, what's he doing playing? It's like, I don't know, maybe he wants to play. Like, that's what I want my guys to do. Like, they want them to play. Now, to your point, I don't want them sitting there with, you know, busted up knee going, hey, man, this could, like, ruin my career, but I'm going to play. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, man, if you're healthy, why not?
I mean, the way you get better at anything, at any job, is you have to do it. So you get better at basketball by playing basketball. And even on the level, so like I tell you, middle school, high school, college, NBA, even on the high school level right now, people be like, what's wrong? Well, you know, back in our days, Jeffrey, we would go to community center and play. We would play outside. Some kids are only training and playing when they play high school ball. That's not enough basketball. You get better at something by playing it. Now, there's two ways to look at this argument. Yes, these days the game is faster, it's more athletic, and this and that. But also, if you go back to 96 or 86, the game was much more physical.
Yes.
So for John Stockton to play when they were knocking people out the air, when they were given what you call a tech one, a tech two. Now, you would get, back then,
common foul.
Yeah.
And we didn't see blood.
The stuff that they did, you would probably get a 50 game or a 25 game. So I think it's a pro and con on both. I do think they are jumping a lot higher now. So, you know, your knees and wear and tear from that standpoint.
It definitely seems like it's more explosive.
For sure.
Like, even guys, I mean, Isaiah Miller last night throws down a dunk, and you're just sitting there going, like,
wow,
that guy? Like, that guy throws down that dunk, and you're sitting there going, like, this guy's probably, like, I mean, he's probably a G leaguer. You know what I mean? And it's just that there's no questioning, like, the explosion is clearly different. But, like, I do acknowledge, like, hey, man, if you're sitting there going, what's the most important thing? Get everybody healthy. Like, I kind of get it. But, like, to your point, I'm 100% big believer, and I think this is going to be what's interesting about Gigi this year is I think it's really hard to develop when you're not playing. Because
yeah.
I'm 100% with you. We've also kind of turned athletes into workout warriors. Like, I don't really care what the sport is. If it's football, like, we've turned guys into how to do the combine.
Oh, yeah.
And basketball, kind of the same thing. It's like, how do you get through, like, an NBA workout that would impress scouts? Baseball, everything's become like, you know, how if I went to a showcase, how would I light up the radar gun? It's like it's stuff that is not useless in the sport, but it's also not playing the games. And it's almost like I feel like we've put too much of an emphasis on the type of like workout stuff that would be impressive rather than like just play games, man.
And I have learned this, and it's starting to circle back around. We did a coach's clinic with Derek Fisher at Peace Jam and some old NBA guys and international coaches. And they're starting to get back to this, Jeffrey, to the point where it's like, we're making things too difficult and technical with workouts and a million plays. And these were, like, Derek Fisher is coaching the middle school team right now. He didn't coach girl. He's asking us for advice. He, like, we giving him advice. He giving us advice. It's like, I don't know everything. And one thing he learned coaching that he said, you have to start back playing basketball. And as far as I think the NBA, now they're getting so much money now with these TV deals, they probably don't see where it's hurting them at. But the one thing it is hurting, when we getting guys just ready and only thinking playoffs, and now we got playing guys, now as a common fan, because I'm talking from a fan right now who love the game, it makes it where, and even some of the players, it makes it where we're not taking a regular season as serious no more, as important. And it used to be a time where, you know, in the early 2000s and stuff with Kobe and T-Mac rallying them, that was my era. Vince Carter, all those guys, where the regular season meant some, you know, when White Chocolate with the Sacramento Kings would play Iverson on a Sunday on ABC. And my thing is, if we're going to sit people, for amounts of times, and if we was to know that pre, I think that kills you in the end because people don't take, it's already to the point you can't get, you can't get excited until the fourth quarter. You know, now let's not take the whole regular season away.
I mean, to me, part of the reason why, like, listen, do I think that they were altruistic in wanting to do the NBA tournament, the in-season tournament? No, I think it was definitely a cash grab, and it was trying to do something. But the thing that I liked about it, the games did have a different level of intensity. Mm-hmm. And to me, one of the biggest differences, a NBA playoff game versus a game in February, like, those feel like different sports. Mm-hmm. And I understand it's an 82-game season. It's a grind. Like, I'm not, but to me, I'm with you completely in that you've now started to diminish the regular season. It was why I was glad this year we didn't have the situation like last year where the Lakers make it to the Western Conference Finals from the play-in, and then the Heat make the finals from the play-in. I did want to get back to seeing, we needed the regular season to matter. And this year, I felt like that was big. Like, you saw, hey, Boston earned their one seed. They got, when people are like, they got an easy route, it's like, well, they earned it. Like, that, they were the best team all year. That's what they did. Like, yeah, the Thunder were the one seed in the West, but, like, that's a young team as the one seed, and they end up getting bounced by Luka, but it looked like the regular season, all that mattered. To me, like, that's huge. I was kind of curious, picking your brain on this, because that's the other thing I've been thinking about. Because I played all three. I played football, basketball, baseball. Coaching was way more intensive in practice. And it seems to me the transition that I've been seeing is now, I mean, even at the NBA level and the NFL level, like, you think about it, like, it's a lot of, like, video install, here's the game plan, whatnot, but it's not a lot of, like, hey, we're simulating what games are like in practice. But to me, it seems like you have now created this environment where, in the NFL and college football in particular, coaches are, like, overcoach. Everyone's looking to the sideline. They're trying to get the perfect route to call the perfect play. But I think the byproduct of that is, okay, yeah, you might tell the guy that's open, like, and he knows where to throw it, but now we see guys that don't really know how to read the field. Like, and this is, like, all across the board. And then, like, I think in baseball now, you got coaches calling pitches, and everyone's going to the pitch comps. Like, I don't know if, like, everyone just has, like, the natural instinct of how to play the game, because it feels like everything's just become overcoached in-game.
I agree with you. Like, some guys would, and some coaches get mad at me about this. I have told, from the highest Power Five coach to, sometimes we're making this too technical, okay? Now, some stuff, little kids technical, like, you know, we got the equipment out there, 3-6, whatever. Yeah, that's for technical. But when you're talking about real basketball, football, baseball, sports, because sometimes you don't want to treat the kids like robots. Some kids or players don't know what to do anymore when the play break down.
Yes. Like, they just start looking at the sideline.
Yeah. Like,
what now? Like, they took away my entry pass.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't. Somebody actually bumped him off his screen, right, running through. And so I feel like when you work out to create creativity, individuality within a team. And my thing is, I'm one of those guys, and we all have our pros and cons. I'm one of those guys who I believe in structure, but not over structure. I believe in putting basketball, my kids in a set. But the set is still to use the mismatch. The set is to still you create for yourself and different things like that. Because I feel like just all, like you said, just all straight play, it makes you robot. It makes you, okay, if this second play, two dribbles in spin, if this not here, we have a back cut, we have a flare. And things break down. You know, that's like us getting tonight, today, we, oh, if Walnut Grove is bagged up, do I just have to sit there 5 hours? No, you find another summer. Go up Winchester. do something, you know what I mean? And so that's kind of where I'm at with it.
No, I'm with you, because, like, I think about it in the terms of, like, you oftentimes see, like, particularly with quarterbacks, like, if first read's not there, they just panic. And it's just like, then, you know,
the bounce is not good anyway.
Bounce the pocket, whatnot, but it's like, I understand Tom Brady's been making a lot of comments, and there's always going to be people who are like, oh, well, he's just doing the back in my day. I think he's 100% right in terms of, from a fundamentals, talent, whatnot, I can see where quarterbacks technically are better than ever. From footwork to timing to like way they deliver, basically all the things that you would do in shorts and t-shirts. I can totally get that. But the amount of guys that I trust to actually like read an entire field is becoming smaller and smaller. It's part of the reason why I think your boy Brock Purdy gets undervalued, where, yes, he is not the physical freak that the rest of them are. Well, I'm in this weird spot with Purdy where I think everybody's wrong. I think the people that are like, he sucks, they're wrong. And the people are like, give him respect, he's a top three quarterback. Like, you're not right either. But what he is very, very good at is he is one of the few guys that came from a college program where they actually told him, you have to run the offense. Like, it's on you. He did it at the line of scrimmage. So he knows how to read the field. Like, more times than not, I do trust him to go the right place with the ball. Whereas, you know, there's so many guys now, like my boy Lawrence, if first read's not there, it's just panic. And it's just bail right. Jalen Hurts the same way. First read, not there, bail right, fired out of bounds. Like that's what it is. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's talk some college football. We'll do it next with Tim Murray right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast, episodes available each and every week on Twitter at @1TimMurray. Tim, I guess, do you now, is Brent going to sign your checks again, Musburger?
Yes, news. Yeah, and news coming out yesterday. The Musburger Media Group is our owner again. So, yeah, big day yesterday in the VSiN world.
Yeah, I even got a whatever press release from Michelle Musburger. I was like, okay, I don't know how I got on this list, but that's good. It's always nice to be back.
I'll let her know that I told Michelle, who, you know, is our CEO's wife and part of our company, that I do a hit here every week. So maybe that's how she got your email.
There we go. Maybe putting it out that way. All right. You got to tell me what you had cooking. when I get a text from you that says, hey, can you bet conference win total overs? And then I'm having to go and look, and then I'm like, well, I can't bet conference win total overs, but I can get you home regular season win totals.
Yeah, so this is pretty interesting. I didn't know this. So, you know, here in Vegas and the state of Nevada, we can't bet DraftKings. And it's just, it's not in our state. But we can, you know, access the odds via the internet. So I always search through it. And I don't know what state I'm linked to. It's either Arizona or New Jersey. I think it might be New Jersey. And the reason I brought this up, and I'll try not to bore everyone of the gambling details, but I was doing some ACC deep diving for the podcast this week, and Duke was a team that kind of jumped on my radar. Duke loses their head coach, Mike Elko. He goes to Texas A&M. Handful of other pieces moved to different spots. Riley Leonard, their quarterback, goes to Notre Dame. Jordan Waters, their running back, goes to NC State. Their edge rushers split. Peebles goes to Virginia Tech. Oben goes to Notre Dame. So I'm looking at their schedule, and I look at their non-con, and it's pretty manageable. It's FCS Elon. It's at Northwestern. It's home to UConn and at Middle Tennessee State. And I'll just tell you that three of those four games, they're a double-digit favorite, and then the Northwestern game's a toss-up. The win total's 5.5, and it's minus 150 to the under. Then I looked at the conference win total, and it was 2.5 minus 120 to the under. And I started thinking to myself, well, if they go 3-1 in non-con play, they still would need to go 2-6 for that under to cash. So I'm just looking at it from a mathematical standpoint and believing that I don't think they'll lose one of those other three games, and they very well could beat Northwestern. And then when you look at their conference schedule, they play six of the eight best teams in the ACC this year. And that's the interesting thing, and I think we talked about it a little bit last week, where when you start doing your deep dive and your homework for college football this year with these massive conferences now, some teams are going to luck out and not play really anyone of note. And some teams are just going to have to play an absolute gauntlet. And for Duke, I looked at their non-conference schedule, and or their conference schedule, I should say, and the teams that are on it, where they have to play Miami, they have to play Florida State, they have to play SMU, they have to play NC State, Virginia Tech. They also have to play Georgia Tech and Wake Forest on the road, which are two teams probably in the same ballpark as them. I just think under 2.5 wins in the conference is a much better way to go than under 5.5 wins for the entire season. So that's why I texted you and was curious what states ultimately had that option, because I was surprised that not every state did have that offering out there.
I got to tell you, I mean, I know, I mean, that was Russell Crowe, Beautiful Mind stuff. I mean, I knew when I teed you up, I wouldn't be disappointed. And I got to tell you.
You're listening, like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
I knew. I was like, he is cooking up something. And
I looked at it. I'm like, from a math standpoint, and, you know, math's not always a strength, and sometimes I miss something, but I'm like, all right, so they could go 4-0 against that non-con schedule, and then you need them to go 1-7 in order to cash a full season. I just take the non-conference out of it. Get out of the way, and let's just focus on these eight games where, you know, I looked at different people's power ratings that I respect. Brad Powers is a noted college football handicapper out here in Las Vegas. I have his power ratings, and he has him an underdog in every single conference game. Tyler Shoemaker, a guy that works at VEASAN, I believe he has him an underdog in seven of the eight conference games. So, hey, man, we're just playing the percentages here, and when I can lay $1.20 to the under as opposed to $1.50 to the under, that's the route I'd prefer to go.
Well, they also have the, when you're one of those teams that making a bowl game is a good season,
yep,
they have the type of schedule you don't want, where the sure losses are home games. You want those toss-ups as the home games, because
100%.
They have Carolina, Florida State. I mean, like you said, you're gonna lose at, you're likely to lose to Miami no matter what.
Yep.
NC State's a tough one. And then that toss-up. I hope you can find some action on this. And you get to...
I found a way.
Okay, I hope you get to Saturday, November the 30th.
And they have two wins at conference. and I'm sweating it out on a road game at Wake Forest.
The artist formerly known as BB&T Stadium. When I lived in Winston-Salem, it was BB&T Stadium. Shout out Putters across the street. One of the best steak sandwiches you'll ever have.
I stayed at the hotel across the street, too, once upon a time. I don't know what it was. It was not awesome.
Yeah, I think it's like a...
One of those generic comfort Hamptons.
I was going to say, I think it's like a rundown Hamptons.
As you would imagine as a broadcaster of a single-A baseball team to stay at. Yes, I stayed right across the street from that football stadium.
That baseball stadium's not bad, though.
The baseball stadium's legit, yeah. Man. Yeah, Winston-Salem Dash. Shouts to the Dash. My boy Brian Bush, who's now a big-time broadcaster up in Michigan. But, yeah, I just, you know, there's just so many different ways to go about betting, you know, different angles. I did something. I'm not going to bore the people with the details on this show, but I got really, really nerdy on my podcast like 6 weeks ago of how we could create our own win total on Notre Dame, which was basically find a book that has over 10.5, play that at plus money, and then at DraftKings play exactly 10 wins. And what you've done is you've created an over 9.5 market now, where if they hit 10, you win at 3-1, and if you go over 10.5, you hit that plus money, and you just got to divvy up the unit size.
I think you just made a hedge fund. I'm pretty sure, like, from my basic understanding of what hedge funds do, I think that's exactly what you just did there.
Because I was like doing the math in my head. I'm like, wait, I can create an over 9.5 minus $2 market on Notre Dame, where the percentages tell me they're going to win 10, 11, or 12 games like 78% of the time.
I am very proud of you. Okay, we also had ACC Media Days.
Still going on, baby. Come on now.
All right, still going on. Here's the thing that I'm noticing right now. I don't know if public infighting is a good thing. And I do understand to a certain degree Florida State started this. But when you're the conference commissioner and everyone's saying you're unstable and you're basically saying, no, we are stable if they would just stop talking, it doesn't exactly inspire confidence.
Yeah, this is going to end ugly.
Very poorly.
As they said, we're going to fight Florida State and Clemson for as long as it takes. I mean,
in court.
This is just going to be a nightmare. Like, you know, talk about like happy life, happy wife, happy life. This is the opposite of that. Like, no. I'm going to fight you until the end of the day, and I'm going to force you to stay here. So, yeah, this is not going to end well. It's going to end inevitably. The future of the ACC, whether it's in 5 years, 10 years, 3 years, who knows? But it ain't good. It ain't a strength right now. And so, yeah, we'll see how this all plays out. But yeah, as we talked about last week, man, like the SEC and the Big Ten are just sitting back, like,
cool. We're good.
Yeah, like, hey, we'll take you at a bargain rate. Well, just like we took Oregon and Washington at a bargain rate.
Like, that's actually my question. It's not if it breaks up. My question is not like if it breaks up, when it breaks up, because I don't really care when. It's going to happen inevitably. I am more curious about will the remnants, and I guess that's the other big question, is how many end up being part of the exodus? But is there going to be a universe where what remains, like, they, you know, you're probably not cutting a deal with ESPN. Like, I'm very curious if there's going to be
CW, baby. Rising juggernaut in the television world.
I mean, Tom Brenneman is back.
He's back, baby.
He is.
I can't wait for him to call a Boston College game with Thomas Castellanos as their quarterback.
That was unreal also that Castellanos
hit a home run
on Sunday. The thing. It's one of those things where somebody put all the list of all the things that had happened on Twitter on the days that he hit home runs, and I'm like, I have no idea if, like, you could tell me, well, actually, there's somebody else, like, that's hit home runs on more significant days. But it's like, that's just unbelievable to me. It's like, if there's a major news story, like, yep, this guy's going to be raking at the plate.
Go play his anytime home run market out there. I was going to bring this up to you because we got a couple new TV stations in the game, man, come Saturdays. And I'm all for it. True TV is going to have doubleheaders of Mountain West football this fall, baby. So
wait, Mountain West got some of that sweet Turner cash?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. True TV, baby. I think you're going to get like 5 San Jose State games at some point this year on True TV. So, you know, don't just remember there for March Madness. If you're a true degenerate, you're going to be flipping on a little True TV at some point during the fall. But, yeah, we've got the CW, right? The CW has Oregon State, Washington State home games, like the 7th ACC game, and now the True TV. So
for a while, I had a little system play where whoever was playing on that CW game, they would get upset. And so I just started like that. That was
Jordan Travis broke his leg.
It was like the CW. The CW game was like the House of Horrors, and it worked for like six weeks.
I mean, I'll be honest, man. I'm trying to get myself on a couple of these broadcasts, so I'm not going to laugh too much. But like, this is your True TV lineup: Sacramento State at San Jose State, Texas A&M Commerce at San Diego State, Idaho, Wyoming, Georgia Southern, Nevada, Kennesaw State, San Jose State. I mean, you're gonna be full degen in order to be watching these games. But hey, man,
did they
get them on network television?
I feel like I totally missed that. When did they take like a secondary package? Like, are the good games still going to be on FS1?
Yeah, I think this is like the fourth option of the Mountain West.
I did not know there was a fourth package.
Yeah. There is, because they're on FS1. They do a lot of Friday games. The Mountain West does. They got some CBS network game. Yeah, they got CBS Sports Network and FS1 are the majority of their games, I believe. But I guess instead of like, they used to have something called the Mountain West Network.
Oh, yeah.
My guess is, I don't know this for sure, is that this is what they're getting instead of.
Yeah, the Mountain West Network, I think, was all online. I think it was all streaming.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. So,
because I was reading, I can't remember if it was Puck or one of like the newsletters that I get was talking about, because it's like it's a newsletter written by people that don't understand sports, but they have John Orand, who does understand sports and sports broadcasting.
Shouts to the DMV, my man, John Orand.
He's an Orioles guy, though, right? I thought you're Nats.
Well, he's from the D.C. area. There's a split there because Nats didn't exist until 2005.
So they were like saying, well, TNT, if they may just take the money from the NBA and go quietly and focus on their college football package. I was like, it's like 6 games. It's like, what? Like, is just when you see, like, when you see people that like know Hollywood entertainment, but they don't understand like how sports works, it's just funny to like read that. It's like, guys, that's not something that they're laboring over.
So what's the latest here? They came out with a statement yesterday. So they're going after the C package,
the Amazon package.
Okay.
So the latest is they being Warner Brothers Discovery Turner are exercising their matching rights. The NBA believes that they don't have the rights to this because it's largely digital. And so what TNT is saying is, well, we got Max, so we'll do that. But basically, it sounded like Zaslav was doing this, I think, to basically get paid to go away. Like, they're going to get some type of payment from the NBA. Because in the end, like, what's the simplest answer? The simplest answer is the NBA wants to be in business with Amazon. And I just feel like they're going to figure out a way to get there.
So the A package is ESPN.
And ABC.
And the NBA Finals will always be on ABC. And then the B package is going to be NBC.
And the Cock.
And Peacock.
Mm-hmm. And then the C package, which includes like
a Wednesday game or something.
The Kia NBA Cup. Or I think they came up
Emirates.
With it. Emirates Airlines. Yeah. NBA has no problem taking some of that sweet, sweet UAB money.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this, man. It was interesting, you know, because, I mean, geography, math and geography, I think I'm decent at. And I would think the best way to get to Paris would be to fly from Vegas over the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
And then somehow they went the other way and stopped in Abu Dhabi. That was interesting. I didn't I wouldn't think of that as the fastest way to get to Paris, but apparently the United States Basketball Association did feel like, you know, that was a good shortcut to go that way.
Well, that's one of those, Abu Dhabi. That's one of those ones where it's like, I just want to know how much did they get paid?
So much money. Like, so much money.
Well, it's also funny, like the
like Windhorst even mentioned on his podcast. I don't know if it was him or if it was Bontemps or whoever.
Wendy's over there.
Yeah, one of them was just like, no, McMahon was like, well, you got to go that way to pick up the bag.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing. It is funny how hypocritical we are about like which Middle Eastern regime we do and don't care about our sports teams getting involved with. Like, we're totally fine, it seems like, in, you know, the NBA's been willing to take some shady investments before. And it's like, we don't care. Golf wants to do it. Oh my God, it's the end of the world.
Golf one just affected us because we wouldn't care, and we've never cared that they went there to play in a tournament, right? But
yeah.
What we did care about is, hey, you're taking them away from the PGA Tour. We like watching the PGA Tour. If they started to create a different league, we would care.
Yeah.
Like if Steph Curry went to a different league to play basketball, we'd be like, what the hell, man? You can't take this dirty money.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Like, and also the PGA Tour made it a big deal. All right, quickly before we let you go, we got Big Ten Media Days. Is there anything here? Like, I saw my
boys. There's a big duck in the river.
That was hilarious.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!